Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, feeding you some more football here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Frankie Beverly and Mays. Frankie Beverly passed away early this week, so we're paying tribute to him. Let's get back to the picks before we give you some injury news with Baltimore and beyond. Giants at Washington. New York looked dreadful.
Oh,
putrid. Beneath an NFL team against Minnesota last week. Going to Washington, taking on the Commanders, who kind of got it handed to them by Tampa. Baker Mayfield threw four touchdown passes. But Jaden Daniels, you know, he rushed for a couple of TDs, et cetera, et cetera. Washington, however, only 1.5-point favorites in that one. Vinny, what do you got?
I'm taking Washington. I thought, like you said, Bob, the Giants were terrible. You know, Washington's not great either, but it's their home opener. They got to win. It's a division game, you know, so I'm taking Washington.
Yeah, both teams aren't good, but Washington does have the most dynamic player on the field. With Daniels, I'll go with the Commanders.
Yeah, let's go Commanders there, and things are so bad with the Giants. Fans were literally burning their Daniel Jones jerseys after the game. I mean, why would you? Whatever. Rams at Arizona. Now, Arizona had Buffalo sweating.
Yeah.
Last Sunday up there at whatever the stadium's called. Used to be Rich Stadium for many years. Rams losing overtime at Detroit. L.A. getting a point on the road at Arizona. No Puka Nacua. And I guess they got some other injuries going on with the Rams.
Yeah, I think they got three old linemen out too, Bob. I'm going Arizona. I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to have a big game. And like you said, Arizona should have won that game against Buffalo. And Buffalo looks pretty damn good. So I'm taking Arizona.
This was the hardest game to pick for me this week. But I am going to go with the Rams. Just got a feeling. I don't know. I'm not basing it on any stats or science, just a gut feeling.
That's usually how you win, instead of overthinking it. But I'm like Vinny. I'm taking the Cardinals there. Marvin Harrison had pretty much a nothing game.
1-for-4.
And he was kind of pissed. And I'm assuming that Kyler Murray's going to do what he can to get him involved in that game. James Conner still scores touchdowns. You get him around the goal line, he's getting in. I'll go with the Cardinals. At home, their home opener, of course. Pittsburgh, first place Steelers at Denver. Steelers laying 2.5. Looks like Justin Fields again, even though Russell Wilson's getting closer, or whatever the hell that means.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Steelers just because that Pittsburgh defense against a rookie quarterback, that's all I see.
I'm actually going to go with the Broncos at home.
No!
I mean, Steelers last week, a win is a win. Sure, their defense was dominant, but I don't know. They can be had, and very easily, too. Put together a halfway decent performance, Broncos should win at home.
I'm with Vinny. We're agreeing here a lot. I just think the Steel Curtain Part 3, T.J. Watt and crew, they're going to get all over.
That old line's not that good.
They're not going to be able to run the ball. I just think Pittsburgh's defense is going to be way too much for Bo Nix and crew. And I think Justin Fields is going to make a play or two. So I think Pittsburgh wins. Cincinnati at Kansas City. Joe Burrow's had Kansas City's number. Historically, you saw Jamar Chase popping off, saying we're the team to beat. And everybody knows it in the AFC. Chiefs will probably have a lot to say about that coming up Sunday at 4:25, laying 5.5.
Well, I think the Chiefs are better this year than they were last year. Cincinnati's not as good. I think Cincinnati's struggling on defense. Higgins is still out. The run game is not Joe Mixon. I like Kansas City.
We got a battle of trends here. Cincinnati awful under Joe Burrow in the first 2 weeks of the season. That's been a consistent throughout his career. And on the other side, though, like you said, Bob, they have been that one team that seems to have the most success against the Chiefs. Ultimately, I'm going to have to go with Kansas City at home in this one.
Yeah, Kansas City, I think their offensive ceiling is pretty high, and the Ravens saw a glimpse of that last Thursday night. By the way, with Kansas City, Marquise Brown, Hollywood shoulder surgery going on IL, going to be out for at least the next 4 weeks there.
Yeah, that's well, I mean, you know what? They were probably figuring, oh, we probably won't have Rice, but we'll have Marquise. That'll be good. And then Worthy looks good. So I think they're going to be, and Schuster will be, he'll have a bigger role. So, and Kelsey will do some things too. So I got no problem. Bob, the way we're picking right now, Cincinnati will be 0-2, Cleveland 0-2, Pittsburgh 2-0, and the Ravens will see.
We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, I'm going Kansas City as well. Sorry, Jamar Chase. The Bengals are not the team to beat in the AFC. They're not even the team to beat in their own division right now. Chicago's at Houston. Bears win. Thank you, Tennessee. Handing them on a silver platter. Houston, they had a very entertaining win at Indianapolis. Texans dropping 6.5. You mentioned Mixon. He was outstanding. Old Stephon Diggs had 2 TDs. Houston looking good. Lived up to the hype week one, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Caleb Williams was not good. They won. They won by special teams and defense. They should have lost that game. I'm going to take Houston, and if Caleb struggles, then it could be a puffy pantser.
It's going to be a party in Houston on Sunday. Crazy crowd. Sunday night. But they're going to be tailgating all day. You know that. I will go with the Texans.
Partying all day. I'm sure there'll be a couple of fist fights in the stands there. Houston, and I think they win rather handily there. National TV, CJ Stroud got a chance to show off for the masses. Caleb Williams might try to rise to the occasion, but too much Texans too often, I think, starting at 8:20. And then Sunday, home opener, Ravens. Kyle Van Noy out on the practice field with his helmet on today. Vinny Serrata.
Yeah,
no Nate Wiggins, by the way, 2 days in a row.
And I think that's big to have him. Well, he probably sees their two tackles, and he knows who they are, and he wants to play. I like the Ravens in this one, Bob, 24-10. But I think it'll be tight early, and it might only be 17-10, and then the Ravens get, you know, a touchdown at the end to make it 24. But I think it's going to be closer than most people think, because I think they see these stats and everything, and this, if you watch the film, the stats and the film really don't kind of jive that well.
I'm going to go with the Ravens 28, Vegas 19, so kind of right on that spread of 9 points. Everyone's talking about the Vegas pass rush here, but how about the Ravens pass rush? I'm predicting a sack each for Ajabo and Owe.
Look at you, Nolan McGraw. I'm going to go Ravens 31-13. It'll be close early. And then I'll use a boxing term, like since Canelo's fighting tomorrow. It'll be close, and then the Ravens will start to impose their will. And by the fourth quarter, the Raiders are going to be on the ropes, and Mills Lane's going to be Arthur McCanny. They're going to be looking to stop it. Defensive touchdown for the Ravens. That'll be my prediction for that one.
So
31-13. Baltimore over Las Vegas. We'll come back, switch to baseball. The American League East and Beyond report heading into this weekend of Major League Baseball fun. Orioles only 15 games left in the season. 2 back of the Yankees. Yankees won last night. We'll let you know how when we come back. And then Mark Anderson from the Associated Press will be joining us. Talk about the Raiders coming to Baltimore, coming off that tough L at the Chargers, but is there hope for, you know, the Raiders to maybe be a little competitive in a very tough AFC?
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
See, covers the Raiders for the Associated Press. Let's welcome to the show Mark Anderson. Mark, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan.
Thanks for having me on again. I enjoyed the previous time I was on.
All right, now let's talk about the Antonio Pierce and some of the coaching decisions, because, you know, full disclosure, I was kind of red zoning it, getting a glimpse of what was going on with that game. And I know some of the yapping heads, you know, like us, were questioning not going for it on fourth and one and punting it away. And then the Chargers, I believe, wound up scoring on the ensuing drive. You know, still relatively new to the head coaching profession, was the criticism from the media and Raiders fans at Antonio for some of his decisions going up against this year's golden boy, old Jim Harbaugh there.
Yeah, I mean, the punting was drew the most attention, but the drive before, he also passed up a fourth and one and kicked a field goal for the only time they were in the red zone. So I thought that was pretty much as bad, too, because they hadn't been moving the ball effectively. You don't know if you're getting back down there again. I think you just have to go for it in that situation. But, you know, he's a defensive coach. Defensive coaches tend to err more on the side of, you know, old school football. And so that's what he did. And he did it last season. Last season he was rated the most conservative coach in the league by, I can't remember what service it was. But I will say this in his defense. They had no running game. And they'd already been stopped on the third and one and fourth and one earlier in the game. And I just don't think he had any faith that his running game would be able to pick up the yard that they need in each case.
Now, Mark, watching the film, the offensive line, keeping on the offensive side, the offensive line, I thought they struggled. I thought both tackles really struggled in the pass game. And then the offensive line, they didn't really knock anybody off the ball.
No. And I think that's a big part of why he didn't feel good about going for those fourth and ones. They weren't getting the push up front for the running game. And Colton Miller, who's their best offensive lineman, he just didn't have a good game.
No.
He got bull rushed several times. he's coming back from off-season shoulder surgery. He missed almost all preseason. So I'm more willing to give him a pass because he's proven he can do it. But, you know, it was a rough game for him.
Now, with Brock Myers and Michael Mayer, it didn't seem like they wanted them on the field together. Neither one is a blocker. I'm guessing that's probably a big part of the reason why.
It's interesting because that was such a big part of the preseason talk was, you know, playing both of those guys together. And the coaches talked about that themselves, about how much trouble that could give opposing defenses. You have both those guys on the field, and they lined up Bowers all over the place in preseason. So, this may have been a game plan deal with that particular opponent. So I'm interested to see going forward if they're going to play more two tight end sets and try to use Bowers in more different places, because I do think that could be effective for them. But Bowers missed some time leading up to the game with a foot injury, so that could be part of it too. They just kind of want to ease him in.
Now, I tell you what, the watching the film, I was like shocked at how good that defensive front was. I mean, even like Crosby and Wilkins, they look like studs. And then the other guy I really liked, Adam Butler, he's good rusher too. And then I think John Jenkins is a heck of a run defender. Give me your opinion of those guys.
Yeah, I think the Raiders defensive line is among the best in the league. I would say top 10 for sure, maybe even top 5. That's the strength of the team right now. There's still some questions in the secondary. There's still questions. The linebackers, I think, are pretty decent. But the defensive line, and that's what kept them in the game. That defensive line, gave their offense every chance to win that game. And you look at two first half turnovers the Raiders had, where the defense was put in terrible situations. They get a field goal in each drive. So that's why if the offense had been half decent, they would have won the game, because the defense did what it had to do.
I mean, in the first half, I mean, they were up 7-6. Chargers were 0-7 on third down. And it seemed to me like the Raiders, and do you think that they're going to come off the bus blitzing like they did the Chargers? You know, third downs and red zone, it seemed like they were coming every time.
You know, with Lamar Jackson, it's just a different dynamic. I think they're wary about being too aggressive with him and letting him get outside and create big plays with his feet. So I think you'll see some blitzes. I don't know they're going to go crazy with him, because I think they're going to be so cognizant of making sure he kind of they kind of keep him in their sights, and because they don't need him turning what could be a 5-yard loss into a 20-yard gain. So I think that he changes the dynamic for this game.
What is the advantage other than the D-line that the Raiders have in this game, and why do you think that the Raiders have why do they feel like they have a chance to win this game?
Well, the defense, if they're going to win this game, the defense is going to give them a chance to win. But I do think the Raiders could develop a good running game. Zamir White ended last season with almost 400 yards in its last four starts. So I do think there's a possibility the running game can get going. I just don't know this weekend against that Raiders defense. I mean, that Ravens defense. But I say special teams, if you're looking for an edge, I know you don't ever want to say anyone has an edge over Justin Tucker, and I'm not saying that Daniel Carlson does, but Carlson is at least in the same neighborhood with Justin Tucker, and maybe even a little bit better when you talk about 50-plus at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something the Raiders have going for them, and they got the best punter in the game in A.J. Cole, who not only punts for distance, but he has great hang time, and they don't get many returns. Last week he had, I think, a 53-yard gross average and a 47.2 net average. So that tells you, and with three punts inside the 20, so that tells you what he can do.
Now, when are the Raiders coming out today? Are they doing like a typical West Coast thing where you come out on Friday?
You know, in the past they would have, but under Antonio Pierce, he's more of a get-in-get-out type coach, so they're actually flying in tomorrow. And I think they want to make it the one thing he has done to try to adjust to the time difference is he started the work week early each day, so the players are more on an Eastern time zone type rhythm rather than Pacific. So he has done that, but as far as the actual travel, they're just flying in the day before.
Mark Anderson covers the Raiders for the Associated Press, joining us here, Vidi and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Raiders, Ravens coming up 1:00, M&T Bank Stadium. Ravens 9-point favorites in this game. But Mark, hey, Gardner Minshew won here last year when he was with the Colts.
Yep.
Speaking of 50-yarder, the Gay kick, what, like 5 50-yard field goals, whatever it was, to pull the upset there. But the relationship, the connection, chemistry, whatever you want to call it, with Minshew and Davante Adams is what right now? And it seems like the only time we hear about Davante Adams is him assuring people that he doesn't want out of Oakland. Las Vegas here.
Yeah, I feel like I've written that story a bunch of times.
Yeah, right.
In fact, my most recent story in that subject was actually doing a compilation of, you know, how many times this has happened. I think that they're developing chemistry. I don't think they're anywhere near there yet. I mean, they had this one third down play. Davante Adams ran a route to the middle, and he was wide open. And all Gardner had to do was just look at him and throw him the ball, and it's probably a first down. And he's right at the sticks. It should have been a pretty easy first down. And Gardner didn't even look at him. He looked to his left and threw a pass to another receiver, and they were about a yard or two short. And Davante Adams was raising his arms at him. So, you know, that's the sort of thing you kind of keep an eye on. You just see what Davante Adams' happiness level is. But I think there's a general feeling, considering the cap that he's going to have the next couple of years, because it goes way up from about 26 to 41 million. And considering where he is in his career, he turns 32 in December, that the Raiders might want to move him, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised that Davante Adams will want to get moved. So that's going to be an ongoing storyline.
All right, Mark, what happens Sunday? What's 1:00, Ravens looking for their first win at home, and the Raiders don't want to be 0-2, obviously.
Yeah, no, it's a bad matchup for the Raiders. I think, you know, they don't get to see Lamar Jackson that often, and he has such an advantage against opponents that they'll play him regularly. It's just so hard for them to. They've tried in practice to have different guys imitate him, but there's no Lamar Jackson. They're not going to be able to imitate him. And I just see him giving them all sorts of problems, and that defense just, once again shutting down the Raiders' running game and putting all the pressure on Gardner Minshew to try to get the ball job done through the air. So it's going to be rough for the Raiders to come back with a win on that one.
Mark Anderson, Associated Press. Mark, we appreciate your time again. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy Baltimore. Get a crab cake, get a cheesesteak, whatever. Eat whatever you want. Food's always good somewhere.
What? I married a Baltimore wife, so there you go.
No, that's right. Well, she knows what time it is, and so do you, obviously. All right, Mark, enjoy the game
this weekend.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Here's Mark Anderson, everyone. When we'll come back and take a trip through the funhouse with Nolan McGraw, John Harbaugh meeting with the media explains why Wiggins isn't playing. It's kind of surprising news. And will Kyle Van Noy's practicing, but will he play Sunday? Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders, and as Vinny said, probably could use his pass rush. Now, Nate Wiggins will not play because John Harbaugh revealed to the media about a half an hour ago that he was in a car. Wiggins was in a car accident, and that's why the neck injury, and that's why he's out.
It's like the fourth car accident this year for Ravens players. I mean, something's going on. I'm guessing they're driving too fast. That would be my guess.
Well, that the road going to one winning drive isn't exactly a straight shot. You got to do a little Grand Prix racing to get there, and if you're speeding,
which I'm guessing 90% of athletes do.
Yeah, well, 90% of the population does.
Right. I mean,
you know, I'm not going to lie and say I'm going 55 miles an hour either. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, 55, you better get over. I'll be yelling at you.
Yeah. If I'm going 55, it's either I don't go 55.
Unless it's a 30 or
well,
a 40.
Well, then I'm going, I don't speed in residential streets, not at all. You get pets and kids and all that. I mean, that's just common sense stuff. But Wiggins out, Van Noy in, it looks like, for this one. Orioles tonight in Detroit taking on the Tigers, 6:40 first pitch. Orioles just score some runs. Come on, man. That's all. You know, got himself third, less than two outs. Get him home. Bases loaded, nobody out. How about score five runs? I mean, just they're due for an outburst and not just one game, a one-off. How about string together four or five of these and Adley get it together, O'Hearn get it together. They need some players who have been cold to start to not get volcano hot, just contribute to the cause. Kowser. I mean, Kowser gets these two for fours if you look at the box score, but when you watch the game, one doinks off an outfielder's head or lands inside the line. I mean, it's they need to start getting some exit velo.
10-5, Bob, last 15.
But they need, what, you think so?
No, that's what they need. I think
I'm not making any predictions. You know
I would
what I
say
mean?
More like 8-7.
I'm not making any. 8 will get you, what, 91? Probably get you a home wild card round. And who knows what the Yankees are going to do. Maybe Boston could win the next three games. We could be talking on Monday, and the Orioles are going to be at first place. I'm not holding my breath, by the way, saying that's going to happen. But you never know, man. We'll close with a cliche. That's why they play the games. Let's go to the fun house.
Quick draws, fun house.
Bro.
The Rudeness Tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
There was a point this season where we thought both the Yankees and Orioles would win over 100 games.
Yeah.
Now 91-92 might win you the division.
No doubt.
Things change quickly.
They were on pace at one point like 112, weren't they? 110?
Yeah, they had the best record in baseball.
Yeah. Well, speaking of baseball here, if you missed the news earlier, MLB uniforms for the playoffs, there's going to be ads on the helmets. Bob's moaning and groaning over there. Nobody likes it. Texter here says, soon enough, MLB uniforms going to be looking like NASCAR, ads on every square inch.
There's a picture on ESPN.com of what the logo size is, and it's on both sides of the helmet. It's ridiculous. I mean, Oriole helmet, Yankee, these iconic helmets just splatter. And again, Strauss, no problem with them as a business or in an entity. I just don't want it on my World Series helmet.
Now, Bob, that it's three-year deal. Is that what it was?
Through 2027. So
just for the playoffs?
It looks like it.
Good. At least well, regular season, that'd be a pain
starts,
in the ass.
It starts here.
Yeah.
We're not going backwards, I'll tell you that.
It's just like the NFL with 15, 16, 18.
MLB Network just had the official, like, whatever of Major League Baseball. Just reached the deal today. Strauss.
The color makes no sense. Is Strauss like red, white, and blue colors? That's not going to look good on a black and orange helmet. It's terrible.
It's stupid. Yeah. And with all due respect, Ricky Bobby style.
Moving on to actual sports topics here.
I'm angry now.
Jeff in Florida says, if the Orioles could simply get Grayson Rodriguez back, provided he's healthy, I think our pitching staff would immediately be bolstered with the potential additions to the bullpen. Can't get runs over the plate. Maybe we could at least slow down the opponents.
Well, and they need to tighten up that infield defense, too. So they're not doing the pitching any favors with the unforced errors. Suarez has been great. Kramer's been outstanding in his last four or five starts. And Burns is Corbin Burns. The addition of Grayson Rodriguez only bolsters your rotation. It all goes back to what I've been talking about it for a month and a half. Everybody, they can't get the offense going, man. I mean, what other than Westberg? Because Mountcastle doesn't look like he's anywhere near coming back. Westberg, too. I mean, he was showing the media in Fenway or whatever it was. He could, you know, his grip with the baseball's getting there, but it's a lot easier, you know, doing it in front of the masses there in the media throng than somebody throwing 98 miles an hour. And by the way, gripping a bat and all of that good stuff.
Howard in Baltimore says if the O's lose this series to Detroit, we can pretty much count them as done for winning the pennant. This assembled team only has the ability to play 500 baseball. Unfortunately, I believe that the Yankees will sweep them when they go head-to-head later in the year. The O's will not win a playoff series.
500? They're below 500 since June 20th. They're five games below 500. And they're what? 4-4, I believe it is, here in September. Mm-hmm. They've been playing losing baseball for quite some time. And this team is not the team that went to Yankee Stadium and beat the piss out of the New York Ball Club then. This is a much different team in many different areas. Hey, Craig Kimbrell was pitching like a guy that was trying to get to the All-Star game. Now he's a guy that I don't think Brandon Hyde wants to pitch at all. So, yeah, there's that. How about I was in a good mood. The hell's going on around?
We'll see if we can change it here with some Ravens topics.
Sure those Mick Ultras will change it.
Yeah, but they're four.
This texter here says the defense looked really bad and looked lost at times. They have better players than last year. It was confusing the performance. Maybe defensive coordinator Orr is in over his head.
I think we heard what he said. They try to do too much instead of letting. You got great players. They do. They got a lot of really good players on defense. Just let them play. Let them play fast.
Imagine if they lose. Holy, Maryland loses, the Orioles lose two out of three or get swept, and the Ravens lose. We'll be on the whammy lands big time sports wise in this city.
Someone's calling out sick on Monday.
My heart will really be racing.
My head will be hurt.
All right, one last one here. This texter says, I wasn't upset about the usage of Derrick Henry in week one. They did give him 13 carries, wasn't a ton to be had. But the threat that he and Lamar present in short yardage situations was on display, and I think the two of them can get the Ravens back to being a dominant team when going for it on fourth down.
I think what people are going to like to see is, and, you know, the Ravens were behind almost the whole game, so they're playing catch-up most of the time. In the fourth quarter, that's where you need the hammer, but they never were in position. The hammer was standing next to Harbs, because they were trying to catch up most of the time.
Yeah, Lamar was getting hammered in the offensive line. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next. Then you got Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Tim Barbalace, Jim Hunter. We'll be at Horseshoe Casino Brew Brothers, 10 o'clock for Baltimore Game Day on Sets of the Pregame Show, brought to you by Rice Mirtha Pesaurus. It's going to be a busy weekend of sports. Hopefully we're talking about some good stuff when we get together at 10 o'clock on Monday morning. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Have a great weekend, everyone. For now, class dismissed.